Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg. It's Midday Magazine for Friday, the 17th of June, 2016. Joe Vicnicki with the local news. A compromise bill to use Alaska Permanent Fund earnings to help stem the state's multi-billion dollar budget deficit has failed to make it out of the House Finance Committee. Juneau Empire reports that the committee's co-chairman, Representative Steve Thompson, says legislators were one vote short of the six votes needed yesterday to advance that bill to the House floor. The committee is expected to try again today. The committee voted on a new version of the bill submitted earlier in that day that calls for limiting dividend payouts to $1,500 for residents this year and next. The previous version, which passed the Senate, limits those distributions to $1,000 the next 3 years. The measure is the centerpiece of Governor Bill Walker's fiscal plan and would roughly halve Alaska's more than $3 billion budget deficit. Monday is a public hearing on changes to Petersburg's Smoke-Free Air Act as the Borough Assembly looks at allowing marijuana smoking at future retail pot businesses here in Petersburg. Changes to that local law are in the second of three readings before the Assembly. One change would allow marijuana smoking at a licensed retail pot business. The Assembly is also making changes to include a prohibition on vaping and e-cigarettes in public places and workspaces. The revised law would also define cigarette butts as litter under Petersburg's local ordinances. Petersburg Indian Association's Tobacco Prevention Program Coordinator has also asked the borough to increase the minimum distance for smoking outside of restaurants, businesses, and other public places. In other business on Monday, the Assembly will be voting on a resolution to auction off several pieces of borough land. Those parcels are at 306 and 919 Sandy Beach Road, along with 705 Ira 2 Street. If the Assembly approves, that land would be auctioned off September 19th. The minimum bids combined on the three lots totals just over $290,000, and that money would go toward the police station and municipal building project. Public Works is seeking Assembly approval to take part in a cooperative purchasing program for buying vehicles. Borough staff is also asking for budget changes, including an increase in the more than $500,000 budgeted for paving local streets this year. An additional $86,000 in federal money received by the borough would go to pave portions of 12th, Howken, Excel, and Fram Streets if the Assembly approves. That would be on top of a number of other local streets slated to get new asphalt this summer while the paving company Secon is in town. Borough Manager Steve Giesbrecht is seeking borough approval for a 2% increase for the borough's department heads, totaling $18,000 for the upcoming year. Meeting starts at noon Monday. Note this is a time change for the second meeting of the month. Assembly meetings will be starting at noon through September. KFSK will broadcast that meeting live. Petersburg School Board has a full roster again. The board voted this morning to appoint Sandra Stevens to a vacant board seat during a special meeting. Stevens is a logging engineer and works at the supervisor's office of the U.S. Forest Service in Scow Bay.
I'm originally from Iowa. I then went to Idaho, then Oregon, then here. So I've had kids go to several different school districts in different states. I have a lot of observational experience and really impressed with this school and this community.
Stevens has four kids. She's served on the school district's policy committee this year. She was the only applicant for the seat, and she will serve until the election in October and can run for that seat. She replaces Megan Litster, who resigned in May. Litster stepped down so she could apply for a job with the district. The board this month approved her hiring as a part-time intensive instructional assistant for the upcoming year. A newly renovated cruise ship anchored in Petersburg during its maiden voyage this week. As Abby Collins reports, that boat is complete with a new back deck, a large kitchen, and a salt room.
The Chichagof Dream is a new addition to the fleet of Alaskan Dream Cruises, an arm of the Sitka-based Allen Marine. Freshly remodeled, the 207-foot boat anchored just off of Petersburg South Harbor and shuttled tourists to land and back again. During one round of lightering, the crew took me on board. All right, so can you show me around?
Okay.
That's Eric Majeski. He's the general manager of Allen Marine Tours, and aboard the Chichagof, he gave me a look around. We went straight for the salt room. It looks sort of like a sauna with walls of pink Himalayan salt.
So what are you doing here?
Just a place to come and relax.
All right.
So it's been about 30 minutes in here, and it's supposed to soothe you and give you good feelings.
The boat was built in 1984, and Majeski says it had other names before it became the Chichagof Dream.
So this was previously the Spirit of Glacier Bay, which went aground in 2008, and the Allens bought it after, of course, it was a Cruise West boat. They are no longer a business, and we got the boat and now made it into this amazing vessel you see before you.
He says Allen Marine acquired the ship in 2012, and they've been working on renovations right up until this week's cruise.
We did some major renovations down in Seattle before we brought it up in 2014, and then we've been working on it pretty much straight through since December 2014 until Sunday.
Now it's out on a week-long trip around Southeast. Inside, Majeski takes me upstairs to a room where passengers can hang out and have a drink.
We're heading up to the lounge deck. This is the lounge. So we have bar service. We have several beers on tap, as well as drinks for the guests. Open bow area for viewing.
Can they go out there on the
Yeah, they can deck? Go up to the chain on either side here. So.
Is this something that's new with the renovation?
This was accessible before, but we've changed it quite a bit.
One big renovation is an open-air deck on the rear of the boat.
This is the promenade deck. This is our newly built back deck. Was previously all cabins back here. We had to renovate by cutting all the cabins off, as well as there's another deck above this, so we cut all the cabins off as well. So
does it fit less people now?
It fit less people than it did previously.
The vessel holds 74 passengers. Majeski says a number of the changes were made to meet Coast Guard inspection.
Even the salt room?
The salt room was just the thing the owners wanted. So.
Yeah.
And it's been very well taken by our guests so far. They really enjoyed it.
So some of the renovations were just extra perks. It's almost cookie time, and the onboard baker is cooking away.
This is the amazing galley of the Chichagof Dream. So it's a lot bigger than all of our other vessels. So walk-in freezer, walk-in refrigerator.
Majeski says despite being the first trip out, there have been no major technical problems.
Got a couple of little quirks, just mostly like doorknobs and little things from shipyard work. Been actually very good so far.
No major.
Yeah, nothing major.
On the first trip out.
Yeah, we're really happy. I mean, but it took a lot of work from the shipyard staff and stuff to make it as good as it is today. This is the bridge deck. So this is the captain's quarters, mate's quarters. We have an emergency generator up here, and it's just another viewing deck as well. This is our wheelhouse, and not much has been changed up here except for the interior parts. New chair for the captain.
Inside the wheelhouse, we find Captain Stu Vincent. He says he's very pleased with how things are going.
You know, initially startups are always wrought with the problems of one thing or another, but we've been actually very pleased with how things have been running.
After Petersburg, Majeski says the ship heads to Cake and makes a few more stops before docking in Juneau to end its maiden voyage and pick up a new group of passengers. As for me, I return to shore. In Petersburg, I'm Abby Collins.
And you can see a few photos of the Chichagof Dream on our website, kfsk.org. Two art shows open tonight at galleries on Main Street here in Petersburg. One is the first solo show for Grace Wolfe, who grew up here and now lives in North Carolina. She'll be displaying 13 paintings with an Alaska theme at Miele Gallery. I spoke with her this morning about her work. Is this your first show, or have you done others before?
This is my very first solo show, absolutely, and I think this is kind of like an earmark. Now I can finally call myself an artist.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a long time coming.
It must feel good, though.
Oh, absolutely. I've been working hard towards this for, I think, probably since I was about five.
Okay. Tell me about these works. They're acrylics?
These ones here are acrylics. I have a few watercolors with me, but nothing's framed, so they're going to go in with the prints. But yeah, these are acrylics, and I kind of do a weird rendition of acrylic as I treat them as watercolors for the most part.
Meaning you use a lot of water and kind of thin it out? Or?
I use a lot of water, and I do washes. And what I like best about acrylic versus watercolor in that aspect is after the first layer is dry, it won't come back up with when you apply like the second wash on it. So you can get so many layers, like this iris, for example. Look, you can see all of the different layers coming through. Isn't that neat?
Mm-hmm. And it does give a watercolor feel. I can see different colors popping through.
Oh, you'll also notice there is no black in my paintings. I think if I use black, it's just kind of a waste of where it could be colored, you know? So I use a lot of dark navy blue or dark reds or mainly navy blue. It kind of is a placebo black.
Okay. And your inspiration, you've got many plants here and animals as well? And
I've got a lot of Alaska. Actually, I think this whole thing is Alaska. I've got halibuts and fish and waves and berries and wildflowers and one polar bear, because my sister told me I couldn't paint one.
Okay. It was a challenge.
It was
you.
A challenge. Okay. We do this thing called Sister Wars, and she'll challenge me from all the way up in Anchorage, and I'm living in North Carolina right now, so it kind of helps keep us connected.
Okay. So you're living in North Carolina. Probably this is a way to reconnect with your home state?
Or? It's a way to kind of fend off the homesick.
Okay.
Because, well, if I had my choice, I'd be here.
Yeah.
But the Coast Guard likes to send my husband wherever they want to send him, and I follow.
Okay. Let's see. Do you have a favorite piece among all these, or is that too
hard? Oh, yes.
Yes, you do?
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
And this is the one you were saying is an Instagram, from an Instagram photo.
This is from an Instagram photo of, I think, Shaylee Doll's boots.
Okay.
And three salmon. And the frame was made out of pallets, so this was a labor of love because everything was stripped out before I could cut it and before Dad could router it. And oh, yeah. So it's really, it's kind of a neat perspective.
Looking down at her feet.
Oh,
with
yes.
Fish lying on
the dock.
And the wood in the background goes great with the frame of the wood, too, as well.
Oh, it does. It kind of complements it, because the wood frame kind of looks like a fish box in a way, like a vintage fish box, you know?
Very cool.
Adds kind of a rustic class to it.
Yeah, and I'm looking, the one next to it is Devil's Thumb, but kind of a sunrise, sunset explosion of Devil's
Thumb. It's a sunrise, apparently, according to, I think it was Carrie Case, the only time that Devil's Thumb, like the sun comes directly up behind, is right on the solstice. Mm-hmm. And so I figured this is pretty much the solstice.
That's beautiful. Wow. Great colors. Beautiful. Beautiful
oh
work.
God. It's like a punch in the kisser, isn't it?
It is. No, it's good. It's good for a gray day, I think. So.
Absolutely. See, that's what I love about it, because it's going to look great on anybody's walls that needs a pick-me-up. You need to add that color when there is no color.
It's very cool. All right. So anything else we should let people know about? There's a reception for you tonight. And
yes. Just there's a reception tonight. Well, if you're out and about sometime right after noon and you follow me on Facebook, look out for Free Art Friday. I hide a painting around town, and I put a picture on my Facebook, and it's a free-for-all. Anyone can find it and keep it and love it.
And that artist reception for Wolf is at Miele Gallery tonight from 5 to 7. It's one of two shows opening on Main Street. There's also a reception for new works by Doris Olson. That opens from 5 to 7 tonight at Skate of Gear. Olson has also been doing a series of shows on a theme this year. Tonight's theme, Octopi and Whale's Tales. And it is Friday, the 17th of June, 2016. Time to check in with Dan Berg. He's a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors, and he joins us on the phone line from Bellevue, Washington. Hi, Dan.
Joe.
How's it going down there?
Well, the markets had a case of flu that was caught in the United Kingdom, I'm afraid. And the uncertainty regarding the vote over there is causing some ripples. It's not a small thing. And it looks as though the vote on the 23rd, which is Thursday, will cause either the British pound and European assets to have a nice revival, or perhaps continue a little bit lower. It's pretty much a consensus that leaving the EU would be, in the, at least in the short run and maybe the long run, a negative for the United Kingdom. But that's definitely one thing that people are talking about. The other thing that happened here was a Federal Reserve Bank Open Market Committee meeting. In other words, they met about interest rates. And they decided to leave it unchanged. But the discussion afterwards was really quite interesting. Janet Yellen was saying that we have more mixed economic indicators than we've had in a while. And even though the housing market looks strong, the momentum in the labor market has changed a little bit, as not as much job creation going. She also said that inflation remains below their 2% target. The inflation indicator that they use, which is a little different than the CPI, is up 1.5% year on year. So the net-net is that not only was there no change this time around, but the likelihood of interest rate hikes down the road are much less. And six of the governors even said that they expected only one this year. And the futures market, which has been a lot more accurate than the Federal Open Market Committee's prognostications, says maybe there won't be any hike at all. So the word for interest rates in this country are lower for longer. And then, of course, there's the so-called Brexit vote in the UK. The likelihood of that is around 40%, according to the betting markets, which is a big change. So we'll see what happens next Thursday. So over in Asia, the Japanese yen is at a 22-month high. And interestingly, the low interest rates that we're experiencing and some of the currency movements are related to what's going on in the UK and the European Union. So for the week, the Dow Jones closed at 17,674. That's about a 191-point drop. The NASDAQ closed at 4,800. That's a 1.9% reversal for the week. And the S&P closed at 2,071. That's a 1.2% drop.
So, Dan,
another factor. Yes, go ahead.
Is the expectation that the markets will react negatively if the Brits vote on to leave the EU?
Very much so.
Okay.
And the reason why is that it's not just the UK, but it's deemed to really draw a big question mark over the whole experiment of the European Union and the possibility of more countries leaving. And at the very least, their moves to be more integrated have stalled and maybe gone into reverse.
Gotcha.
So it's the implication beyond the UK that has a lot of people worried.
Okay. Sorry, I interrupted. You were going on to another part of the world, I think.
Well, I was going to talk about oil for a second, which is always topical in Alaska. The price of oil dropped by $1 per barrel from $49.07 to $48.07 during the course of the week. That's the next month's price for West Texas. And interestingly, even with oil just inching up above $50 a barrel as it did over the last couple weeks, the rig count inched up. And it just goes to show that with just even modestly higher prices, folks that really need to pump oil start pumping more oil. And so the bottom line here is that we're still oversupplied. Gold, however, had a very nice week. It closed at $1,296. That was up $23 an ounce. There were a lot of folks buying government bonds and gold this past week on the uncertainty internationally. And so Treasury yields are quite low, as you might expect, 2.43%, slightly lower than last week. And the 10-year is at 1.61%.
Okay, how about individual stocks you're keeping an eye on?
Well, Microsoft was definitely in the news. They made their biggest deal ever. They are paying $26 billion in cash for LinkedIn, the social and office work website, symbol LNKD. So Microsoft closed down to $50.15. There were many commentators saying that $26 billion is too much for this company. LinkedIn surged 46%, and it closed the week at $190.80. In other tech news, Oracle announced very nice earnings, ORCL, that came out today. That stock was up to $39.68. Kroger, the largest grocery store chain, seems to be doing well in their management. That closed at $35.18, symbol KR. And on a little bit of a sour note, which may be worth paying attention to down the road, Synchrony, which is a very large issue of private label credit cards, symbol SYF, announced that there have been some credit issues and some folks aren't paying their bills, and that closed at 2577, a very bad week for Synchrony. And then finally, Alaska Air Symbol, ALK, closed at 5988. And I don't know if you've been paying attention to the stock price of Alaska Air over the last few months. It wasn't that long ago it was above 80. And so airline stocks have continued their weak trend.
Okay. Well, besides the British vote, what will you be paying attention to for next week?
Well, I will be looking at new and existing home sales. Hopefully, the housing market will provide a bit of a backbone to the U.S. economy. Also, I'll be looking at durable goods here. And for company earnings news, FedEx will be a nice look at the pulse of the economy. Also announcing are Adobe and ConAgra.
Okay. We'll talk to you next Friday. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Joe. Have a good weekend.
You too. It's Dan Berg. He's a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors and joins us on the phone from Bellevue, Washington.
Listeners are reminded that the information provided is general in nature and may not apply to their personal investment situation. Individuals should consult with their chosen financial professional before making any decisions. Investment products and services are offered through Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC, member of SIPC. Neither Wells Fargo Advisors nor its financial professionals are legal or tax advisors.